chanson. Écoutez RPTS.
Well, I love cubism. It's my favorite style. When I see a cubist painting, I just gotta smile. But there's one painter I'm his biggest fan. He's the father of cubism. His name's Cézanne.
Cézanne, the father of cubism. Good morning. Well, Brian Sereth, the executive director of Disjecta, that's hard to say, the executive director of Disjecta Interdisciplinary Art Center, is here to talk about what's happening in the transformation of the old Templeton building on East Burnside Street, and we're going to find out how it's coming along, or rather coming together. And Brian, good morning.
Good morning, Julie. It's always a pleasure to be here with you.
Well, you don't have to walk so far now to get here.
No, I don't. Just a hop, skip, and a jump.
Yeah, and I'm glad to see you because it's been a while. And, you know, I even looked up the word disjecta in my...
What did you find?
It says disjecta-membra.
That's correct.
Uh-huh. Scattered parts and written materials.
That's right. Yeah, we co-opted the definition and expanded it a bit. But it is it's a historic Latin term referring to literature, generally speaking. But it's about the creative process. So it essentially refers to all of the creation of a piece of work that is not included with the final piece. So the things that you don't see that are cut away. And we felt that that was something to celebrate because we enjoy the creative process.
Okay. Well, now when I think of you, I think of your name as being Disjecta quite often. The Disjecta guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Is that all right
with
you?
That's just fine.
Okay.
It should be that way.
I think so. Okay, Brian. Where are you in the progression of the building of the Art Center? You have, you're a very busy guy, and you're doing a lot of things and have a lot of good ideas. So answer that question.
Well, that is a far-ranging question, and I think that the last time we talked, we have made some significant progress, and I'm happy to have the opportunity to come in and talk to you about it. We, if anyone out there does not know, the R.J. Templeton Building is on the Burnside Bridge. It's a three-story historic building that for the last several years has sort of been a storage space, warehouse space, not been used very much. And we engaged in a process with the building owner to activate that building, to turn it into a lively art center, a central location on the Burnside Bridge to house both visual and performing arts and other creative enterprises such as creative office use, dance studios, photo studios, artist studios. So we're creating an entire picture of the creative community in this building. And it has been a long, arduous process. The scope of and scale of the project is large, and it has taken some time to put together all of the aspects of the project, from getting the architect on board to designing the space, getting the contractor, bidding out the cost of all of the renovations that have to go into the building, negotiating the lease with the owner. And many of these things we have accomplished in just the last 4 or 5 months, and it's very exciting.
Okay. Do you own the building?
We do not own the building. There is a building owner, and that's who we're negotiating with to form a 7-year lease with a 7-year option. So a total of 14 years in the location, which we would be just thrilled to activate that building for 14 years and create what we feel would be a significant cultural impact for the city of Portland.
I should say. Well, now, when I began to see things around the Burnside Bridge changing, first thing that came down was Bologna Joe's.
Yes.
And I felt sad when Bologna Joe's went down because some of my first people that I had on the air, I walked into Bologna Joe's and found that there were quite a few artists in there.
Yeah.
And I had this elderly gentleman who used almost everything to draw pictures on, and I had him over to KBOO, had him on the air. And so that was my first journey into Bologna Joe's to see what it looked like and the services that they were giving these people
right.
on the inside. And then the next thing, then that came, the Bologna Joe's came down, and I said to myself, this whole section of the town is going to change.
Yes.
Okay.
And that has begun, you know, that process began with the Bridgehead Development project, and that's why Bologna Joe's was torn down. Bologna Joe's is on the opposite side of the Burnside Bridge from the Templeton Building, where Opus Northwest won a somewhat controversial bid to start a large-scale development project on the north side of the east side of the Burnside Bridge, northeast side of the Burnside Bridge. But what you saw around KBOO, in and of itself, there have been some stalwarts in this neighborhood, Imago, KBOO.
Mm-hmm.
And then you saw the Jupiter Hotel open and the Doug Fir Lounge and some of the small boutique shops that are
right.
here on Burnside. And there was definitely a shift.
And there's a gallery up the street from us. What is it called? The Art Portland Art...
The New American Art Union.
New American Art Union.
Yes, there have been some galleries, young gallerists moving into the neighborhood. So it's very exciting.
Yeah.
And, you know, we love the location of our building, and we love the activity of the neighborhood. And even when you move down into the Central East Side, there are a lot of things changing. The B&O Warehouse, the monolith in the center of the East Side, is currently being developed by Beam Development, and will be turned into a mixed-use, development project. So a lot of things down in the area of the Central East Side are turning around. We love the industrial feel, though, and I think that that's something that you probably enjoy as well.
Well, I think
we like
everybody,
that mix.
Yeah. And you're on Morgan Street?
That's my office. That's my home office right now while we wait for the Bridge Templeton Building to be
renovated.
And I'll give you a couple of specific numbers regarding that. I was a little vague earlier, but
that's okay.
What we have done is we fortunately acquired the assistance of OTAC Architecture. They're based in Lake Oswego, but they are a large architecture firm that has agreed to come on to our project pro bono. They have been wonderful to us, Gary Hartnett and Ben Bortolazzo and Sharon Nobby and Dennis Hayden, really guiding our project and helping us design the building. So we went through that phase in November. We brought Fortis Construction on as our general contractor, and we went through many, many revisions. It's called, I can't think of the name off the top of my head, but we've revised the budget several times and arrived at about a $950,000 renovation project.
I see. Mm-hmm.
At this point in time, we have succeeded in gathering 80% of those necessary funds to renovate the building. So we're 20% shy. We're at about $790,000 that we have accounted for. And we're about $200,000 short of, we have a gap between what we have accounted for and what we need to spend on the project. So we're in the midst right now of trying to close that gap. Mm-hmm. So we have some exciting fundraisers coming up. We just finished with the Tazo T Waste Not Art Exhibition, Recycled Art Exhibition, was on March 4th, and it was a fantastic event. It was the first year for the event, and we're very much looking forward to partnering with Tazo again on that event and expanding the scope of it. But what a great event. It raised about $7,000 for Disjecta and Scrap, another great community organization that we love. Yeah.
We've dealt with Scrap before.
That's right. And so there are a lot of things happening now that are helping move us towards closing that gap and beginning that renovation process.
Now, when you have some entertainment or you have something going on there where you send out invitations, what door do they go into? I just remember a very small door in the side of the building. Are you going to have a little bit more of a presence on the outside of the building to show people where the door is?
Safe to say, Julie, we will have flashing lights. No. But when the renovation process, takes hold, there will be a significant makeover of the building, including designating proper doors and entry areas for the public. We're very much looking forward to that. Right now, the building is still consider it vacant. So not much has been done to the facade, but rest assured, we will have signs.
Is there anybody renting space in the building yet, or will that happen?
Disjecta will be taking the master lease on the building, and part of our business model, which is a unique business model, it's something that we like to think of as a very sustainable model.
Okay.
We will be leasing out X amount of square footage, up to 10,000 square feet of our building space for other creative enterprises. And right now we have pre-leases with a photo studio, a coffee shop, a bar restaurant for the top floor, a dance studio, a creative media firm, and several artist studios. So
have you discussed this with the people who are going to move into those spaces yet? Or
discussed
your plans for these different events that are
absolutely
take place there?
Everybody's very excited about being a part of that.
Name some people. Now, we need to know who some of these people are that you're working with.
Well,
don't you think?
I think that's just great. I would like to start by talking a little bit when it comes to programming. Our model is a curatorial committee rather than a single curator. We've decided that there's a great presence in the city of curators and artists who have wonderful ideas about programming, contemporary arts programming. And we decided that would be a strength to put it together a small committee. And our inaugural committee is comprised of Jessica Jackson Hutchins, who's an artist that lives here in Portland but shows nationally, Damali Ayo, you know very well.
Oh, sure.
I think she's even filled in for you from time to time. So
she's an old friend of mine,
yes.
Damali.
Chris Moss.
She's a lovely person. I'm just very fond of her.
And we are as well.
She's
and
brave.
We're happy to yes. And that bravery is exactly what we like the most about having Damali on the curatorial committee, bring some of those ideas to the table. Chris Moss is a curator. He's the director at the Linfield College Gallery. Stephanie Snyder, whom everyone out there knows, wonderful gallery director at Reed College. Stephen Hayes, longtime artist, great supporter of the arts here in Portland. Lawrence Fong, who's a director down at the Jordan Schnitzer Museum of Art at the U of O.
Okay.
Megan Atia, who's on my board. I'm sitting on the committee as well. And then Jennifer Cox, who runs Flight 64, which is a press over on Alberta Street. So that group is our inaugural group. We're happy to have them putting their ideas on the table and helping to direct and focus the programming content of what will be the future gallery space at Disjecta.
Mm-hmm. Okay, did you all sit around a table and look at each other and come up with fabulous ideas?
We did. We sit down.
That was a power play.
Yeah, well, basically we sit down together every 3 months and we look at submissions that have been sent into the organization first, and we sift through those, and then we talk about activating personal connections, throwing ideas on the table, and discussing how to go out, chase those ideas down, and make them a reality. So it is a lot of fun. It's a very energetic process,
and I
think it was the right decision. So I also want to mention that the organization has added some new board members, and we're growing our board as is appropriate for the nature of the project. We have some board members whose terms are coming up, so we decided to bolster the numbers on the board, and we're fortunate to add Brad Malson, who is a developer here on the east side, Beam Development, Michael Heberoy, who is the proprietor of the Ripe family of restaurants, Clark Lewis and Family Supper, Greg Carroll, who is recently back in town, and the son of John Carroll, who's also a developer, and he's just an ambitious and excited, you know, arts supporter. And Ann Koch, who's an attorney, intellectual property rights attorney. So we're
an intellectual.
Intellectual property, property right, intellectual property,
property rights.
Those types of things. I'm probably not saying that right, but
that's okay.
So we have, we've diversified the board. We've added to the board. We feel we just really, really bolstered the strength of the organization by adding numbers to the board and getting some enthusiastic members out there in the community.
Okay. Now, you, where you are, there is also the skateboard people.
That's right, the skate park.
Have you had any kind of association with any of the skateboard people?
We've had a lot of interaction with this skateboarders.
Tell us about it.
Well, when we activated the building in June for a temporary exhibition, and the skateboarders made up a pretty nightly audience base. They were always okay. coming in to check out the building. They also had this past summer, or might have been in the fall, they had a big skate park event, and asked if they could use our parking lot. And of course, you know, we didn't have ultimately didn't have control of the building, but we facilitated that process so that they could use the parking lot there. And we're really very much looking forward to that, building that relationship.
That's good.
Yeah, I know you're a big skate park fan.
Well, I am. And I sometimes take my, when I'm down in that vicinity, I go and watch the skateboarders for a little while. And it just, they're so graceful and wonderful. And their personalities show, you know.
Yeah, and
there's a lot of interaction.
There is. And what's really exciting is that there are certain vantage points from inside of the building where one of the restaurants will be that looks right down on the skate park. Mm-hmm. So it's just really, it's really neat.
Yeah. Well, I was telling you a little bit earlier that there was a photographer at one time. He was showed at the was showing his work at the old Elizabeth Leach Gallery, and he was an Italian guy, little thin guy with a beard, and I cannot remember his name, but he was just an excellent photographer, and he spent a number of days taking pictures of the old skateboard people. That was when there was so much art on the walls, the
graffiti?
They don't call it graffiti. Spray can art.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But they some people call it graffiti, but I was told that spray can art is what you call the good kind.
Sure.
The tags are graffiti.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's absolutely correct.
And so I would look forward to seeing lots of that, too, down there.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, how do you feel about that?
I think that's a wonderful idea. Creating an you know, an energy underneath that bridge, rather than just leaving it sort of a stark and barren a void, really. I'm in favor of creating color and art under the bridge, and I think I think the skate park has been working very closely with Sam Adams' office on getting more light under that bridge and sort of activating it. So we're a big supporter of that.
Yeah, okay. Well, will people be able to park in there, in that
big
parking lot?
It is. It is a parking lot above the skate park.
Yeah.
It does need more light. It needs a little, it needs activation. And that's part of what we're going to provide for the area, is just a very positive activation of the entire block. The parking lot will be ours. It's and we share it with Town Storage, which is full of a lot of creative types as well. It'll be parking. It'll be parking for the tenants in the building and for events and other types of things.
Oh gosh, just super. I should ID our program this morning. This is Julie Bernard and Art Focus. This is KBO 90.7 FM. And we're going clear up the Columbia River today, and we're going to Kelso, Washington, and Longview.
Hi, Kelso.
some places, and in Washington. And we're going to Corvallis, and we're going to Salem, and we invite you to be interested in this project that Brian Sereth is championing.
Yes.
And the head of, and he is a person who was running an event place in a church. Do you want to talk a little bit about your past?
Well, I'll touch
you
on that.
You come from Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania is correct, yeah. I want to talk about that, and then I want to touch on, you mentioned all these cities that you're broadcasting to.
Yes,
and
okay.
I want to touch on that Oregon Student Exhibition, which is a program that district is putting together that will reach farther even than Salem, but down to Ashland and other places. So to start, yes, I am from Pennsylvania. I did come out to Oregon. I attended college at Eastern Oregon University. Wonderful, wonderful location out there. The Grand Ronde Valley. It's beautiful. From there, I moved to Portland and opened a venue on Northeast Russell Street, which was not a church, but a Masonic lodge. And it was the only and first all black Masonic lodge in the state of Oregon, all African American based Masonic lodge. And so it had a very interesting history. The building was unique. It was a great experience to be a part of that space and activate Russell Street. And Russell Street is now a booming little arts mecca.
There you have the Wonder Gallery.
The Wonder Ballroom and the Wooliette Wonder.
Yes, yes. And then there is the studio space of 333. Is
333
is
down on the corner of off MLK.
Stephen Hayes and
Stephen's in that building. That's right.
Other people that everybody knows.
That's right.
So it's happening.
It's happening. It is. It's been a long process and one that ultimately will be very rewarding. And so let's touch on just if we have time. Yeah, I guess we do. Something called State of the Art, the Oregon Student Exhibition, is a program that DiscJecta is developing. It's a statewide juried thesis exhibition for all BFA, MFA, BA art students at colleges and universities across the state of Oregon. And what our goal with this project is to create a dialogue amongst students, art students across the state, faculty across the state. Let's talk about professional development and getting students ready, training them as artists and training them as entrepreneurs as well. And so this exhibition will look at thesis work from a given year. We'll have a jury come in from outside the state, obviously, very impartial jury, and look at all the art, all the thesis projects from across the state, and choose the most exemplary work from Oregon's art students. And then we will bring that here to Portland, and we'll have a big show, big exhibition, invite everyone to come, get everyone excited about sort of the next generation and the generation after that and the art students that are coming out of the state of Oregon. And so we hope to reach Eastern Oregon, LeGrand, Southern Oregon, Ashland, Eugene, Corvallis, all the schools that provide arts education, BFA, MFA, BA opportunities. So we're very excited about that. And the schools, we've been in contact with all the schools thus far in the state, and there's definitely a palpable excitement.
That's wonderful. Why do you think it's important to educate as many people as possible to what's going on in the art world?
Well, I mean, obviously the ramifications of culture in
of
our
course.
Society are numerous and far-ranging. And I believe that integrating sort of a social consciousness about community to artists and how artists play a role in creating that cultural fabric is very important. So getting people excited about student artwork, these new thinkers that are going to be coming into the workforce, that are going to be, they have an opportunity to sort of help prod culture along and prod the philosophy of our state and region along. I think it's very important to help showcase that and offer an opportunity for those students to enter into the dialogue right away.
Okay. Do you have tours of the building that you can give, or how to, if somebody gets excited about what this program this morning and the, your description of the building and what's happening to it, can they get
in?
They
can get a sneak
run them through
peek.
Or
absolutely.
Somebody?
Absolutely.
How do they do that? Since there's this little tiny door on the side of that huge building.
I know, Julie.
You can't go in off the bridge.
I will personally be standing in front of that door waving a banner.
Okay.
The building, the Templeton building, is a 24,000 square foot, three story building nestled up directly to the Burnside Bridge. And so we are going to be activating the building again very soon, Julie. Okay. We have an event on April 4th that is open to the public. Our good friend Stephen Malcolmus will be playing music. We hope to integrate some of the Portland Trailblazers into the event and have a celebrity three-point shooting contest as part of this fun-filled event.
By then, that might be all they're doing.
Well, Julie. No, they should be in the midst of their season at that point.
Okay.
But outside of that, if I am always available via email, our website is www.disjecta.org, and my phone number is available there. It's on all of our press sheets. I will personally escort anyone on a guide of a guided tour of the building if there's excitement out there, and I hope that there is.
Okay, and you took us on a guided tour
one day. I did.
Me and a couple of other little old ladies.
That's right. That was a lot of fun.
I don't consider myself to be a little old lady.
I don't either.
But I am, I guess. They keep telling me I am. They keep trying to insist that I'm a little old lady.
I'm not sure who would be doing that.
You
yes.
know, those theys that you're yeah.
I'm
doing drawings
of
all
of
the time.
Yeah.
No, you're not.
No,
you're not.
No.
But that's pretty exciting, Brian, and we are going to use this last minute to say anything you'd like to say in parting.
Oh, well, I've covered a lot of ground, and I want to thank you very much for inviting me. It's always a pleasure to be here. For anyone out there who's listening, come take a look at the building. April 4th will be one of the first public events, and you can always find information on our website, disjecta.org. I am always available for questions. Our board is active and engaged. They are happy to answer questions as well. You can contact them on our website. And look forward to the building being active and open and available to the public as we finish closing this very small gap to fund the project.
I just get very excited over the possibilities of this wonderful space, and I think it's terrific. And so you check in from time to time.
I will.
And we'll get you on the air and find out what's happening some more.
That's great, Julie.
Okay.
Thank
Thanks
you.
So much,
yes.
Brian Sereth, for coming this morning. And this is Julie Bernard and Art Focus.
And this concludes the Thursday Morning Radio Zine for Thursday, March 16th. You're listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM. Stay tuned for Democracy Now! This week, today, it looks at this week's Israeli raids on a Palestinian prison and a commemoration of the third anniversary of the killing of protester Rachel Corrie by an Israeli bulldozer. From Pacifica, this is Democracy Now!
So I feel like what I'm